Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us in a few moments. Election Day, and Sarah Bartlett will catch up on everything going on throughout the day. And don't forget, she'll have coverage later on tonight, too, right here on WKOK and online as well at WKOK.com. We talked yesterday a little bit about the Steelers. We'll talk a little bit more about the Eagles today. And one of the things we'll do is we'll chat with Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com and maybe get a look into how, if anything, the Eagles' offense may or may not change as far as what's going on with Mark Sanchez taking over. So we'll find out a little bit more about that and see, like I said, if the Eagles have to adjust anything. It's kind of be kind of nice if you could have a situation where you brought in your other quarterback and you wouldn't have to change much at all. I thought there was an interesting thing come up, and I know Steve's going to have fun and bust on me about this, but the Patriots-Broncos game, Belichick was asked a little bit about the weather conditions in New England, and he didn't have anything really nice to say about the people who predict the weather. He said there was a 100% chance of rain last week, and the only water I saw was in the Gatorade table. You know, it is what it is. You know as well as I do that it could start one way and change during the game. Be ready for whatever it is. But my experience of going with the forecast in this area 2 days before the game, I mean, I'd bet a lot that they're wrong just based on history because they're almost always wrong. If I did my job the way they do theirs, I'd be out of here in a week. That's interesting. I mean, we've all had that same joke about folks in the weather business. But I thought it was interesting because it's kind of an indirect jab at the Weather Channel, because the Weather Channel is the one that's doing all these forecasts. I guess he did have kind of a parting shot with the Weather Channel. He needed to figure out a way to get some of the weather-related wagers going over for the rest of the season. So they started this thing with the Weather Channel in the National Football League. So maybe it'll be a Weather Channel hoodie now to do a little makeup with the Weather Channel and the NFL's kind of, I don't know if it's really an agreement or if it's a little bit of the thing just the Weather Channel's been doing lately. I don't know if it's part of their NBC deal or not, but I thought it was interesting. You know, he says what Belichick's one of those guys that always says exactly what he's thinking and doesn't hold back. I give him credit for that.
I wish the Weather Channel would do weather.
Well, they do, just not when you want it.
what idiot came up with? I mean, I really don't care about what life in Point Barrow is like. If I was really interested, I would look it up myself because I was moving there. I don't care.
Well, here's the real funny part of this story, though, Steve, because Mike Bettis from the Weather Channel went on air on their morning show and then did the two-day forecast versus actual, and the average error is 1.4%. So he actually addressed the issue on the Weather Channel about predicting the weather for NFL games. That was what was funnier about this thing.
Well, I just wish they would do weather.
I agree with that. There's a lot of shows on there now.
I used to watch the Weather Channel all the time, especially in the job I do. I'm traveling a lot. I'm traveling this week, as per example, obviously. So I obviously want to know know, what's the weather going to be like, not just for the game on Saturday. I want to know what's the weather going to be like on Friday because I'm flying Friday. I want to know what the weather's going to be like Saturday night because I'm flying back Saturday night. Now, then I've got another trip coming up to Champaign, Illinois after that. I've got to, you know, I have to drive to Bucknell the day after Thanksgiving. My drive to Bucknell for practice the day on Thanksgiving Day anyway. Then I've got to go to West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, for a game at Marshall. And at Christmas time, holiday time, I don't know what my travel schedule is going to be. I do know I've got a basketball game at Wisconsin on New Year's Eve, and I've got a basketball game at Rutgers on the 3rd. Now, if there's another game in there, we're going to find out over the next 4 weeks whether I've got another game. But I want to know what's the weather going to be like. And these people, now, ever since NBC bought them, we're going to do all these shows. Are you kidding me? Do the weather. I want to watch and put the weather on.
Well, their argument is they have the weather available to you on the web, so they don't have to constantly do it on TV.
Heck with that.
I'm just saying.
Yep. But if I'm going to go to the web, then I'm going to AccuWeather. Because AccuWeather's here in State College.
Agreed.
All right? And I'll go to the web, and I've already checked out the web for Bloomington. Why? Because the Weather Channel has become worthless to me.
Well,
all these Penn State graduates work there. So many of them work there. Do the weather.
Well, I can guarantee you one thing.
I don't care about ice makers.
We had both AccuWeather and the Weather Channel here, and I can tell you one thing. The Weather Channel was not necessarily the most reliable. I'm putting it kindly.
But I would watch the Weather Channel, and I can see maps in motion where I can kind of get a gauge as to what's going on. I mean, most people, you know, like I do baseball, for goodness sakes. Believe me, I can read radar. I mean, reading radar is no issue for this guy. It's not an issue.
I just thought it's funny that Belichick makes a couple of comments and then the Weather Channel jumped back and actually addressed it. That was the funny part to me.
Well, Belichick should have told him to start doing the weather instead of doing some show about a Coast Guard cutter in the Bering Strait. I really don't care about that. I want to know whether or not it's going to rain or snow this week. I went out and played 18 holes of golf today. I took advantage of the weather in no uncertain terms.
By the way, I should have read Belichick in Belichick style. If I did my job the way they do theirs, I'd be out of here in about a week.
No, I played 18 holes of golf today. Yeah, you're shocked.
No, what? I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all.
A couple people were shocked when they said, "Oh, yeah, it's game week." I say, "Look, I already got everything done."
Game week.
I said, "I've got nothing going on."
Your game week consists of the 5 minutes that it takes you to sit down and pull and look at the field. That's game week.
Hey, I work hard on preparation.
I didn't say you didn't. I'm just saying game week for you is the 5 minutes that you take to sit down and look at the field.
I worked till midnight last night on stuff. And then I was up this morning working on stuff. I got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, you get a lot of the stuff done, though, ahead of time, too.
I do, but, you know, now we're at this stage of the season. It's late. You know, it's late in the year. So a lot of things have changed. For example, what I worked on for Indiana, they're a totally different team now than the team I worked on back in May. Totally different. Xander Diamant's the quarterback now. He wasn't even on my chart. He wasn't on there.
You know, that reminds me, though, with
good reason. I mean, in fact, you know, I mean, Sudfeld's out for the year. Covington's out for the year. Roberson transferred. So it's a little different.
Well, talking about preparing, is next week's game with Temple, is that another 6-day game?
Yes, it is. Ugh. Well, but this goes back to what I talked about before. And I touched on this a bit. Yeah. Well, no, but that's a good point you make. Actually, you're absolutely right. And I talked about this the other day, and I'll get back to it here. Intercollegiate athletics. You know, take Penn State. It's a $105 million corporation. So, that's what Sandy Barber's in charge of, a $105 million corporation. Okay. Part of that corporation is, of course, to make sure that, you know, the student-athletes for all the other sports have all the advantages possible. So budgets have to be met. Everybody has to get their travel in. And so forth, right? I understand all that. And when you look at that, okay, yeah, it's a business, big business, corporation. Except the revenue source of this, it is not the equivalent of, okay, it's not the equivalent of, I'm going to go and I love Green Giant corn. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if it's Green Giant or it's Del Monte or whether it happens to be the store brand Acme. People don't care for the most part. You know, product-wise, you have it when, for example, Kleenex is, hey, I'm going to go get a Kleenex. Well, Kleenex is actually the brand name. Sports is different. Sports fans aren't consumers. They are emotionally invested to the point that they want to buy a ticket to go to all of your games. You can't keep messing with them on schedules. And again, the schools have nothing to do with this. But the next television contract is coming up in the Big Ten at the end of 2016. I think they need to start building in certain things that are fan-friendly, even though TV is paying a lot of money. I mean, the last six-day hold, what did the last six-day hold get us? Oh, Ohio State, Illinois in prime time. Really? That's why we waited till Sunday?
Yeah, please explain to me why that game was picked to be the night game. I saw that last week. I didn't think anything about it all week, and then I saw it on TV, and I'm like, what?
Because Illinois had just come off the upset win over Minnesota, and Ohio State had the dramatic win over Penn State. But that's what the six-day hold brought to America? Ohio State and Illinois at night? Really? There are people in Columbus that turned over and were watching Ole Miss and Auburn. I mean, that's what the six-day hold got you. I mean, you can't keep messing like this. Where you just, oh, don't worry, they'll show up, they'll be there. There's going to come a point where they're going to look at you and go, no. And that's what you have to avoid, because the game is too great. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They know how to treat people great.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Stand together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance, they got you covered all the way through. Service and price means something to you? Guess what? Means everything to them. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They're letting Kevin drive a Lincoln this week. Although I think Kevin went a little bit too far yesterday bragging about his padded seat.
No. It was heated, not padded. Well, it is padded, but it's also heated as well. But
but we don't want to know about your seat.
Oh, well, I was referring to the seat in the vehicle.
Yeah, but that's not the way you phrased it. It was such a way where suddenly out of nowhere. No, the way you phrased it was such a way the FCC called.
Yeah, I realize. I probably could have worded it better.
I was appalled. Do we need to know about your seat?
It was very warm.
Oh, it just gets worse. Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com joins us, and even he is appalled by the tone that this conversation has suddenly taken. Brandon, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Okay, let's get to it here. Mark Sanchez, what did you think about how he stepped in and how he played?
I think Mark Sanchez, for the situation that he's in, I mean, you have to consider he hasn't really thrown a pass in the NFL regular season game since 2012. He came in off the bench cold. And first play right away, there's a deep pass. And then the rest of the game had some ups and downs. Threw a really nice touchdown ball to Jordan Matthews in the red zone. That was just a perfect pass. That's something you really don't see out of a backup, most backup quarterbacks at least, a guy with that kind of ability. But then he did have some miscues. He had some dropped interceptions as well as two actual interceptions. But, given the fact that he had to come in off the bench and he didn't really get a full week to prepare as a starter, I think he played pretty well. I think he looked pretty reliable in relief time. That's what you want out of a backup quarterback, a guy who can come in off the bench like that and win you the game, and that's what he did.
Nick Foles out 6 to 8 weeks. So give me an idea how this affects the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I think we've probably seen the last of Nick Foles for this season, because if Mark Sanchez is playing well during his absence, I just really don't see Kelly making the switch back to Foles, especially if the Eagles are winning. I just don't see why they would stray away from the hot hand just to go to Foles. Foles really struggled this year. The team was winning, but he wasn't playing that well where he's not replaceable. So I think Sanchez really has the chance to come in here, and he'll be a free agent after the season, so the future is very unclear. And then Foles will still be under contract for at least one more year, so he's going to be back no matter what. But You know, it's looking like Sanchez at least has an opportunity to steal the starting job here, but he's going to need to play well down the stretch. And, you know, he struggled in New York, so it's far from a sure thing that he's going to look good here. But, you know, he has some offensive weapons, and I think Chip Kelly can make Sanchez look a lot better than he is. I think this is the kind of system where, as I said, he has a lot of weapons, and this isn't New York, you know, where Sanchez was with the Jets, and he didn't have much surrounding talent around him, and he really struggled there. So we'll see if Mark Sanchez is rejuvenated here in Philadelphia.
How did you evaluate the Houston game overall?
You know, I thought it was obviously a much needed win because they had lost to the Cardinals, needed to get back on track, especially with Dallas, you know, being so good. Need to get ahead in the division, which they did because Dallas lost to the Cardinals. But, you know, it was an ugly win because not only did they lose Nick Foles, obviously, but they lost DeMeco Ryans, too, and that's a big loss for them, not only just from a talent perspective at the inside linebacker position, but Ryans calls the plays. And it's hard to put a value on leadership, but it's clear all the guys – respect him. I mean, they call him Mufasa, Chip Kelly said. I mean, clearly, you know, the team really rallies around him on defense, and without him for the rest of the season, that's just a big loss.
And I mean, no question about that. But in this league, there are no style points. They have continued to win, and it's not, I don't think, any, you know, you end up at a break even. Dallas lost Arizona. Philadelphia lost Arizona. Virtually everybody's lost Arizona. So at this stage, how well do you think the Eagles are set up to now handle the next 4 weeks?
It's going to be interesting. I think just looking ahead to this week alone, you know, I don't think the Panthers are all that good. They have something like the seventh worst point differential in the NFL. They're only 3-5-1. I mean, I think you get off to a good start here, and then you have some matchups coming in the next weeks that are tough. You have to go away to Green Bay. But, you know, I really think it's going to be interesting to see. I really think they can win with Sanchez. Sanchez himself cannot carry this team. It's not like he's going to be able to throw 61 times and put the team on his back. But I think, you know, you make this thing manageable by getting Evan Mathis back this week, and you got Jason Kelce back last week. So you're really going to get the run game going here. They lose Todd Harriman's, but Matt Topin has had some starting experience now that he's had to start at left guard in place of Mathis. So you get the run game going, and it's really not just the one running back in LeSean McCoy. It's also Darren Sproles, who, you know, he's no stranger to big plays. And then Chris Polk has looked really well, or looked really well against Houston at least. And when he's healthy, he clearly has talent. So if you can lean on this running game with a rejuvenated offensive line, and you can really just, you're asking Sanchez to you know, the cliche game, be the cliche game manager, kind of manage the game, you know, not, again, not putting the team on his back, really just asking to do little things, making the throws that he's capable of. And then you can probably get by with this defense, because even with the loss of Ryans, they've been just solid as a unit. They're still allowing too many big plays, but, you know, you take away those big plays, which is easier said than done. They haven't been that bad. And then their special team unit is probably the best in the league, so I think you mix together, you know, a strong run game with a veteran quarterback who can, you know, hopefully for Philadelphia get some points, and defense is okay, and you have that A-plus special teams unit. You know, I think that's a formula for a team that can win games down the stretch.
What part of this football team has been consistent week in and week out that has allowed this team to win? What section of this football team has reached that level of consistency?
I think it has to be the special teams, and I think that's something they really, that's not just an accident, you know, that's something they really focused on the offseason. They signed two guys on the second day of free agency who were pretty much just designated special teams guys. That's Chris Maragos and Brian Breeman. But then you also have guys like James Casey, the rookie tight end. Trey Burton has been huge. You have Brad Smith. You have the special teams unit that's really not allowing any returns. You have Darren Sproles, who's a very dangerous punt returner. Kick return game hasn't really been anything too special, but it hasn't been terrible. And then their kicker. I mean, you have this rookie kicker, Cody Parkey, who the Eagles traded for late in August. You know, it looks like the Eagles don't even have a kicker until he steps up huge, and he's just been really clutch. I think he's 16 or 17 this year. He, you know, he's making big kicks at big moments, and he's also great on kickoffs. He's not allowing a lot of kick returns because he can kick far enough for the touchback. And that was something the Eagles really struggled with Alex Henry. So I know it's not the sexiest unit, but I think special teams has really been key to being, you know, just constant every week, something you can count on.
Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com. Now flip it to the other side. Where do they have to be better in order to make sure they keep winning?
Well, I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the offense has been a bigger concern, but now,
sure,
you know, you look at this defense, and with Ryan's gone, you kind of just want to see those big plays eliminated, because it's interesting, because they'll shut down, you know, a unit for most of the game. They did pretty well against the Texans. All of Houston's 21 points came off the turnovers, so it wasn't like they were, you know, there was only just the Houston offense running wild through that Philadelphia defense, but, the, you know, they're giving up those X plays, as the team likes to call them, and it's really interesting to see, because those are the kind of plays that the Eagles defense didn't allow in 2013. They were more of a bend but don't break defense. They wouldn't allow the big play, but they would allow stuff underneath. You know, this year it's almost a little opposite at times, where they're getting a decent amount of stops, but then they'll just have that one play and, you know, really just breaks things open.
And that's the key right there. They're able to do that. Leader on defense. Who would be the leader of that defense right now, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, Casey Matthews is going to be the guy who's calling the defensive plays now with the helmet, because, you know, that's just going to be whoever they put that in there at linebacker is going to be responsible for that. So Emmanuel Osteo is also going to have to do that. But those guys aren't your defensive leaders. I think a guy like Malcolm Jenkins, who they brought in this offseason, I think he's a guy who steps up, and they rally around him because he's out there for every snap. I think a guy like Michael Kendricks, in his third year now, is a guy who's kind of going to need to step up more in that role with his partner next to him gone. And I think they still have and then even just up front, you know, you have some young talents there, but, you know, Cedric Thornton's a guy who's been around now. Fletcher Cox is only 23, but he's been here a couple of years. You know, I think you have some guys who have been in place, and I think the leadership isn't the same with Ryan's gone, but I think you do have guys here who are capable, you know, of really just setting the tone.
Carolina Panthers on Monday night at the Link. That means, of course, Cam Newton and company. Some of the keys in a game like this, especially handling a quarterback with mobility, because certainly the one that the Eagles had to handle this weekend, you have better mobility.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because they were getting to Ryan Fitzpatrick a number of times, and just time after time, it felt like he was slipping away from pressure somehow. I mean, that's something they really have to fix this week when they're going up against Cam Newton, because he can obviously kill you against the run, and, you know, he's not going to just get the first down or whatever like Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He can go all the way down the field for a score, so he's going to be a real tough cover. He has been struggling with the pass a little bit, though, so maybe the Eagles will kind of, you know, force him to throw the ball, really cheat down on the run. That's something they did with Colin Kaepernick week 4, and that worked well for them. They really limited him on the ground, and they kind of just dared him to beat him with his arm, and he couldn't. So I think that's, you know, you'll see that kind of same strategy against Newton this week. But really, you know, you look at this Carolina team, and I said it earlier, they're really not that impressive. They have the 7th worst point differential. They're 3-5-1. They really could have lost that game that they tied if Cincinnati didn't miss something like a 30-yard field goal in overtime. So, you know, they're coming to the Link, where the Eagles, I believe, are 4-0 this season, and I don't think they've lost a regular season game there in something like 6 or 7 straight games. So it's going to be a home field for the advantage. You know, I really see Philadelphia deserving to be the strong favorite in this one.
And what is an atmosphere at the Link like when the lights go on and it's prime time?
It's big. I mean, that's something we saw the last time they played there against the Giants. You know, the crowd was fired up. Obviously, it was a division rival, and they had the whole Black Sunday thing going on with all black uniforms. There's a little extra juice there. You know, I really expect this to be a big game. They didn't even have a Monday Night Football game at the Link last year. I can't remember back to the last one was. It had to be 2012. So I think fans are really going to be excited for this one. I think it's going to be a big, it's going to be a big advantage for Philadelphia.
Brandon, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Always glad to be here.
All right, Brandon Gowton, BleedingGreenNation.com. By the way, Zane Rutherford and Nico Megalutis will both redshirt this year for Penn State Wrestling.
I heard the rumor about one, but I didn't know about Megalutis.
Yes, they're both. Yes, they're both going to take a redshirt this year. Kick back. Join Kevin at wrestling camp. It'll be fun.
Maybe I'll learn something.
How would you... I've been trying for 3 years.
No, about wrestling. About wrestling.
Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Has not been a great week for Indiana basketball. Indiana forward Devin Davis is still in the hospital with a head injury after getting hit by a car driven by one of his teammates. He was a pedestrian. And Emmett Holt, a freshman driving the vehicle, hit him. And right now, Davis is in serious condition, but has been making some progress. Should be pointed out, though, that Davis is the one that is cited for causing the accident, that he wasn't looking where he was going and walked right into the car. So it's actually Davis that was cited for the accident. You know, they're saying it's his fault. He's not being cited. I mean, it's saying that, in other words, Holt, the driver of the vehicle, is not going to be, in other words, he's the reason he hit is because of something Davis did as he was walking. They also have suspended Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson in Indiana for 4 games because they failed the drug test. This is Indiana basketball, by the way. I realize this is a wrestling area, and so you got, you know.
Yeah. And there's a pretty entertaining match coming up soon at Penn State, too.
We have to talk about a program that makes $12 million a year. They sell out $17,000 per.
Not good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, Penn State, Lehigh. I know you think it's going to be like really close. Yeah.
I didn't say that. I said it's going to be entertaining. I didn't say it was going to be close.
Well, the score you gave me sounded close.
What, 25-17?
Yeah, it's close. It's two matches.
I mean, I also realize Lehigh is kind of young in some of the lower weights, but.
So he says to me, they're ranked in the top 25. I'm like, there are only 76 teams.
Well, until they get to 157, there's one junior, two sophomores, and two freshmen on the Lehigh team.
Okay.
But it will be nice to see Nate Brown from Lewisburg at 184, ranked number 3 at 184.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And he'll probably draw, let's see, probably, what, McCutcheon from Kiski? Well, originally sure. From Kiski area. The kid from Grove City also might check. The sophomore for Penn State could be at 184 as well. Phipps.
Yeah, it's already that time of the year. So it's already that time of the year. You know,
basketball season's going to get rolling here pretty soon, and they got some wrestling going on as well. Well, they have 6 home dual meets this year, or something like that. 5.
I know there's standing room only, limited standing room only tickets available.
Well, no, they're sold out. I mean, which is great. I mean, I'm glad, you know. I mean, that continues to be a big plus. They're the 4-time defending national champions. I would hope that they would be get that kind of support. They're excited to watch.
They have another interesting dual meet coming up with Pittsburgh on the 21st. Pittsburgh's ranked 18th currently in the country. By the way, Penn State leads the all-time series with Lehigh 65-34-3. And I believe the last time they met was, what, 2 years ago? And it was a pretty convincing 29-6 win for the Nittany Lions.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.